Does love thy neighbor have anything to do with politics? Dr. Gregory, or Greg, Seltz is the executive director of the Lutheran Center for Religious Liberty, the LCRL, in Washington, D.C. Recently, Greg wrote about the challenge that we have to, quote, reclaim the public narrative, dispelling the notion that the church is a nefarious voice in culture, and courageously asserting that the biblical moral message is indeed a positive force for good in culture, part of Christian citizenship for the sake of one's neighbor, end quote. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Dr. Greg Seltz joins us to discuss, does love thy neighbor have anything to do with politics? Well, welcome back, Greg.
It's great to be here, Jerry. Well said, well-framed question.
Well, I hope so. I was quoting you. Okay, so let me ask you the question. Does love thy neighbor have anything to do with politics?
No, and because politics is, you know, Jesus says a couple of things that should help us here. Well, there's a couple of Bible verses. First of all, Jesus says, my kingdom does not come through coercion, through the sword, so put the sword away. Well, government can't do that. Government is, by definition, the sword in our life that says this far and no farther. And then the story of the Good Samaritan, that's about you and me personally as we relate to those God brings into our life. It's not about what the government agency is supposed to do in our place. That's that. And then you got this Bible verse, if a person won't work, they shouldn't eat, because again, you're incentivizing their worst behavior when you take care of those who won't take care of themselves. So there's a fundamental level of this. So I have a phrase that I use, and I'm going to write on this, by the way. It's called good government can't save us, but bad government can absolutely destroy us. This is bad government. When you merge benevolencing and charity with government, you're using a coercive agency that doesn't give of itself. It gives of others' stuff. And when it does it wrongly, it punishes all the wrong people, and it never incentivizes what's good. Another thing I used to say when I was working with the poor in New York, Christians will give you the shirt off their back, but they will not let you steal Jesus' money. And that, you've got to be able to differentiate those two, because I used to have people on the street who were coming they were doing something to take what they shouldn't have because they could take care of themselves. And so my role there was, you're not stealing Christ's money, but to the one who is really in need, here, take one, take two, take whatever you need, and we'll walk with you. So we've got to learn how to make distinctions.
You know, that's a really good point. I mean, you look at San Francisco, or you look at Los Angeles, the homeless population in the last 20 years or so has just exploded in those places. In effect, what you have is perverse incentives, you know, reinforcing homelessness rather than fighting it. And yet there's a lot of the money that goes to that in order to fight homelessness. So they're not doing it the right way.
One of the people that was a good friend of ours, or at least we had gotten to talk to him much more about this. He works, you know, not the Bowery, Skid Row in LA. And he said that what we try to do, he said, we have enough beds for everybody. We have enough food for everybody. We've got to get people just to take the basic level of responsibility of come to the place where this is for you. He said, what happens is people come in from the suburbs and they throw bags of clothes or water and they throw it into the homeless population. Well, what they think they're doing is helping. What they're really doing is incentivizing that community to buy and sell and to not have to take responsibility to come to the place where, you know, where they can become at basic level of humanity, like I take care of my ability to come to the right place so I can be fed, sleep, shower, etc. He said they get in our way of trying to challenge people to that basic level of humanity. And then they go home feeling great. We got to go back in and clean up their mess and reorient this thing. So that's the point. And so when you get involved, it's not, do I feel good? It's, did I do the right thing for that person? And that's where this gets all mucked up when government gets involved.
Well, give an example of some sort of charity doing it right, let's say in terms of helping the homeless or those who are down and out.
There's all kinds of charities that are doing it. In fact, there's that book on Philadelphia, that when they tried to shut down some of the charities, the charities were doing like 60-70% of the work.
So, Greg, what do you recommend for charities, to do this right and not in any way enable or actually, in effect, throw fire on the already, you know, current problem of homelessness. In other words, they're not exacerbating the problem. They're literally helping to limit it.
Well, when you look at what churches and free people have done in the past, I mean, almost all of the successful things that we've done in our culture come from that Christian ethos or that kindness ethos. Well, that's for free people to do. I mean, the boys clubs, the girls clubs, the kinds of things that people were doing as a natural extension of their neighborhood. First things, I say it overall, this isn't going to be solved by some quick government policy because we actually have incentivized this. We've got all kinds of disincentives for people out there to do the right thing. So the first thing is families start to become families again, and they take care of their own. They take care of their extended families, their people. That's how the nation was built. And then the reality is we can get together and free people can get together to do all kinds of things if the government allows us to do those things. And churches for sure. In New York, we obviously can't take care of the whole homeless population, but if we had folks in our neighborhood, there's ways that we could do it. One of the ways we did is we provided work and opportunity for people who could do things, even though they were down on their luck. They had some problems because they couldn't get jobs, things like that. Well, we started to find out some things. There are certain people who ran the street because they wanted to, and then there are others who needed to help up. And we tried to work with those folks. There were all kinds of charities that we could work with too, so we could maximize our efforts. That's the way free people do it, because free people can make decisions about, is this guy scamming folks or is this guy really in need? Well, you have to get close enough to people to make those decisions. And there are charities that are dedicated to as well. Government types are never going to be dedicated to that level of blessing because that's not in their job description. That's just not how they do it.
So if a local government, let's say, was deciding should we or should we not, you know, allocate certain resources to help the homeless in our community, and you were speaking out, what would you say? Just kind of like, hey, let the churches do the work and get out of their way? Or
yeah,
is,
I mean,
that
there
realistic?
Comes a point. Well, I mean, if you want to know what the Bible says about what the role of government, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. See, Romans 13 doesn't talk about Caesar doing any of what we're talking about. Now, we say, because we've got Christian roots in our nation, even like the Minnesota kindness that's going on with the Somali stuff that's going on, that's because charity is being mixed with, Minnesota nice is being mixed with coercive government. Look what you got. Good government can't save, bad government can destroy, and the very people that are being punished now are those who really need it and those whose taxes were wasted. So we want to say that's a bad system to try to do what you're saying. Every time I argue about this with fellow Christians, they'll say, yeah, but there are some people that, you know, can't help themselves. Okay, if we can define what that group of people is, because it's a very small group of people, and say that's the only thing that all of our taxes can go for. But what you find out is it never stops there. So I think, again, when we look at how we can do these things, it's our money. So why don't we pool it and make it accountable in our neighborhoods and things like that? Churches get together to do those things. I'm just saying that if you want a just society, you've got to stop asking Caesar to do God's work. And then again, the church, if it won't do it, then that's on us.
Everybody seems to get down on the Puritans, but in a little bit of study I've done on the Puritans, I couldn't believe this statement I came across, and I think it's from Cotton Mather, writing around 1702, The Great Works of Christ in America. He said that there was a man who went over to a country. He left from London, and he went over to this country, and he said, in 7 years in this place, I never saw a beggar, I never heard a curse word, and I never saw anybody abusing alcohol. In other words, a drunk. And the country he was talking about was Boston. In 7 years, he didn't see that during the height of, you know, of the Puritans during that time. And I thought, that's a really interesting thing, because people were very industrious. In fact, we even have that phrase to this day,
really?
The Puritan work ethic. And, you know, people always knock the Puritans, but the reality, they created in the wilderness, this incredible errand into the wilderness, as they called it.
Well, I look at it this way. When I was living in Florida, is Publix, that's the grocery store there, right? One of the grocery stores?
Yes, that's
Publix,
right.
Is that Florida? Yeah. We had an outreach to those who needed help, and Publix helped us. They created all these groceries, foundational things that people needed for families especially, and they worked with us churches. We would be the ones that would go and get it, then we'd bring it back to our neighborhood, and we dispense it to those. And the people that we were working with, they had responsibilities to do things with their 20 hours and things like that. They may not be able to get a job, and if they were in a tough situation, they would always have food, and then they would do certain things that would make the neighborhood better. They had to bring back kind of the, we did this and we did that from those folks, and we would provide the food. Publix helped us with this because there was food that we, you know, Publix throws away after a certain amount of time. And so there we were. I mean, that was a great, it had nothing to do with government. Government had nothing to do with it. We took care of our neighbors. We took care of our neighborhood, and our neighbors always wanted a hand up. They wanted eventually to be the people who were giving stuff, not taking stuff, because nobody wants to be given to like they can't take care of themselves and their family, if at all possible. And that's the better way to do it. So you could have Publix involved in this. You could have churches involved in this. You could have neighborhood organizations involved in this. And then there's an accountability to those who want to scam the system, because if someone scams that system, you find out pretty quickly. The problem with government stuff, look what's happening in Minnesota. No one's going to jail. You know, if some people go to jail, the politicians are going to skate. The money's gone. The people, so it's, don't give them that power. That is your responsibility.
And another thing too, obviously, those who begin to go on a downward spiral and could ultimately end up homeless, boy, if they could be reached early on so that they don't get into any kind of vicious cycle, where they could be helped in terms of maybe helping to them to get a job, or, you know, to get some sort of apartment to live in or whatever, but something that they can work for, it makes a big difference. In other words, you see the difference when it becomes a lifestyle, that then it really is hard to undo that.
Well, and let me just say it this way. If you have people in your own life that you know have these problems, and you feel like, well, that's not my problem, but I'm going to vote for a benevolent government that'll take care of it, you just got to understand the government's going to do even worse than what you could do. And so even making things available and trying to find – governments can incentivize good things. They could incentivize tax breaks for those who do work with the homeless, or they can incentivize businesses that do that. But those businesses still have to be accountable to average citizens who would give their money to it. The big difference between, say, like the Minnesota stuff and maybe UNICEF or something like that. I don't know if it was UNICEF or United Way, but back 20 years ago, 25 years ago, they found out the head of it was taking private jets all over the place, blah, 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 blah. Donations went down immediately. That guy was fired, you know, and if he did something untoward, they brought charges up against it, and they righted that ship and they got back to their mission statement. That's what you can't do that when government is controlling the levers of power. And so don't do it, because it's never going to be better than what we can do when we see the problem and we see that we're part of the solution.
All right. We have about a minute left. How about some comments on Christian citizenship in terms of, you know, being good citizens, which in effect is a form of loving our neighbor?
Yeah, that's the thing. The founders actually said, if we can get our families and our neighborhoods to care for themselves. I always say the reason why defund the police is bad is because it's the same people who are saying destroy the family. You have to empower the family, then you need less police. God knows what he's doing. You have to build things. And those things that are built freely in love towards those that God brings in our sphere of influence. And that's the way we should all be thinking about our life. And then I think this discussion would be radically different.
Do you think God's design for the state includes this idea of good Christian citizenship?
Well, I think that's exactly what the founder said. This is not a Christian nation insofar as the Constitution is Christian. This is a Christian nation that the Constitution limited government because the Christians were motivated to be the kind of citizens that the founder said needed to be here so our republic could thrive.
All right.
It was
great.
A nation of Christians.
All right, Greg, we're out of time. LCRLfreedom.org. Dr. Greg Seltz. Thank you. All the best.
You too.